Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on Thursday, March 28th, 2013. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. And the South Bay Show is brought to you by Tapas and Vino. Located in the heart of Riviera Village, Tapas and Vino offers an idyllic location to meet and eat and has quickly become a favorite destination of local foodies. Opened in October 2011, this charming bistro offers an eclectic menu of small plates, salads, soups, and entrees for lunch and dinner daily. In addition, brunch is served every Saturday and Sunday with endless, yes, that's right, endless mimosas and bellinis. The popular outdoor patio boasts a vibrant scene each evening and features live music every Tuesday night. The extensive wine list offers varietals from regions around the globe, and brew enthusiasts will appreciate the comprehensive beer selection. Tapas and Vino is currently running a Not Just Tapas and Vino campaign. For listeners of the South Bay Show, mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie and receive 25% off a lunch or Saturday and Sunday brunch entree. Be sure to visit the Tapas and Vino Facebook page for weekly specials and discounts. They are located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information, visit the website at tapasyvino.com. That's TapasYvino.com or call 310-791-8200. That's 310-791-8200. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great, good, and always good when we're doing food shows. I love those.
I'm going to miss the month of March. We've had a great time discussing food and drink this month.
We have. We've had some great guests, and now we're returning to America's favorite food, as far as I'm concerned. Barbecue. Oh, my God. Okay. Who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is John Marsh. John has previously been a guest on the program to discuss his Triton Mixed Martial Arts studio, but today, since we've been focusing on food all month, he's here to tell us about his latest venture, Wyatt's Barbecue and Catering Company. John has been a grill master for years, cooking for lucky friends and family, and is kind of a barbecue legend around town. He finally decided the world could no longer go without his grilling expertise and launched Wyatt's Barbecue in October 2012. Wyatt's Barbecue and Catering Catering serves the greater South Bay area and offers a mouth-watering selection of grill specialties for every occasion. With a state-of-the-art mobile grill operation, they can pull up to your door and prepare everything on-site, but more importantly, should you have space restrictions, all cooking can conveniently be done off-site. Now, Joe, I've eaten John's famous barbecue on a number of occasions, and all I can say is pass the ribs. Welcome back to the program, John. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. We're great, John, and glad to have you. And, you know, barbecue is, as far as I'm concerned, barbecue is America's food. I mean, this is, you know, beef if you're kosher, pork ribs if you're not kosher, barbecue chicken, barbecue vegetables. I mean, it's something, you know, 4th of July, I mean, you see innumerable, untold commercials with people outside grilling. Everyone wants to do it, but not everyone can do it right, and you do need special equipment. And you look like you've got some special equipment.
Yeah. I put some time and energy into making sure that I have the right tools to do what I want to do. So,
right. So, okay, let's start out. just laying out, you know, the case for why it's barbecue. Why did you start this, and what's your aim and purpose?
Well, I mean, it was basically just a favorite pastime. It's one of my passions, just like martial arts was, and that's how I started that venture. A buddy of mine and I used to sit around and, you know, we used to barbecue just like, you know, most American men want to do, sit around and barbecue and have fun, and just kind of got good at it and started to try different things. And as we moved on, barbecuing for friends and family, people started to say, hey, why don't you try, doing like maybe a restaurant or a catering. So we started just dabbling in that, and just for fun. And next thing you know, he had his career, I had mine, and we just kind of, you know, all of a sudden started to get real busy. And we realized this was turning into a job. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to take it a little more serious. I'm gonna step it up a little bit. And that's how the business actually started.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, it was just having fun and turned into, we just got good at it and people wanted more and more of it.
Right. And you're shopping for friends like events like 3-4 times a week, and you're saying, hey, I'm always
exactly.
shopping. I'm just
exactly.
spending all this money. And so what kind of a smoker do you have?
Well, it's a it's actually this huge beast that you can cook up to 1,500 people. And what it is, it's a mobile rig, and most of our food is smoked. It has a giant smoker, which, like I said, holds enough food for about 1,500 people. And then on the side of it, it's indirect flame, which means you put the food in the smoker. It has a big giant firebox on the side, so you feed the heat through one end, and the smoke cooks the food.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you for the flavoring. Then you take the food out of the flavoring chamber and you put it onto what we call a Santa Maria grill. And that's where it goes on the coals and sears, and you cook it
mm-hmm.
on the actual coals. And, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. One of the first, sort of realizations that I had about really getting good barbecue and doing it, you know, in a home, like I have a home Weber, is that you want that indirect heat. You don't want to cook the food, the meat too quickly. You want to cook it at a low temperature for a long time. How long do you normally smoke the meat that you're doing?
Well, it depends on what you're cooking. And what that does is the long duration on a low heat, what it does is it melts the collagen in the meat, and it makes the meat where it's not tough. The actual meat part of it doesn't stick together anymore, and that's what they call falling off the bone or being tender.
Mm-hmm.
It's just melting down that collagen, and you can't do that on a hot direct flame. All you're doing is you're flavoring the outside of the meat, and you're not cooking the inside of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So the indirect flame allows you to not only get the flavor deep into the meat, but it also helps break down the collagen and make the meat more moist and tender.
Right. So this is
why I will never be a grill master. I didn't know any of this.
It really is, you know, and I learned as I've been doing this for, you know, the last 10 years, and I learn all the time. I learn every day. There's always some old school guy that'll teach me something that just really helps with some type of flavoring.
You see, I always thought that with beef, you're supposed to put it on a hot grill and sear it really fast to seal in the juices. That's what I always thought.
Mm.
Yeah, that's if you're happy with the way it's already flavored, the way the meat already is. This is a different type of cooking. Smoked meats are different than just seared meats. I do seared meats. We'll do tri-tip, just seared. Chicken sometimes you'll just sear and just cook it. But everything just seems to taste better smoked.
So you smoke it first. Okay.
Yeah, you smoke it first. And back to his question, the difference on time depends on the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Pork generally is a tougher meat.
Mm-hmm.
So most pork items you want to cook longer, a lot longer, up to, say we do pork shoulders. Pork shoulder for pulled pork, you're talking between 12 and 18 hours.
12 and 18 hours.
Yeah, those are long nights. So when somebody says I'd like to have pork shoulder for my son's birthday party, you're going, okay, so I'm going to stay up all night. And so there's a lot that goes into it, and it's watching temperatures, and it's watching moisture gauges, all types of things to make sure that it comes out perfectly, because the last thing you want to do is spend time and money and 18 hours of time, and then it comes out dry or just not good. So and then you go to, you know, simple things like chicken, you know, you're talking, you know, 2 hours cook time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ribs, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. So it depends on the meat that you're cooking. Well, you know, tell you what time you got to cook it and how much, the quantities as well.
So you can't put this stuff in the smoker and go to bed?
I do. You would laugh. I have a wireless remote that goes next to my bed where you put the thermometer into the meat and you close the smoker lid. And when it gets below a certain temperature, you got to get up, put more wood on the fire, and you have to put more smoking agent in, which is just wet wood, into the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have to get up. And that's generally done every 2 to 3 hours. So I got to have my little alarm set to where it just wakes me up when the temperature goes low and I go down, put my wood, and go back to bed.
Does it actually it wake you up only when the temperature goes low?
Yes.
Wow,
it's
great.
An internal temperature. So, yeah, what you're looking for is an internal temperature on anything. For doneness, it has to be, you know, usually, you know, 165 or more to be done. So if it's within a couple hours and the temperature's not getting hotter, it'll beep and wake me up. I'll go put more fire on, you know, and it'll continue until it hits your goal, and then it'll really chime off and say, hey, we're done.
Yeah, I've been aware that, you know, when you want to do this right and you want to do this, you know, as you're doing it, this is a business now. You have to have the equipment. So you have a portable grill that's like you pull on a trailer hitch.
Yes, sir.
Or something like that. Yeah, okay. So that's the serious bit about it is that
instead of a boat, I have a barbecue. It's a 20-foot barbecue.
I would imagine that if you drive around town trailering that thing, you must get cars following you.
Yeah,
I've had
people pull me over and ask things. It's funny because it does. It has a full kitchen on it. It has the four sinks, hot and cold water, solar. It has a solar panel. It's got electricity.
What?
It's got a radio. It's got lighting. It's got everything.
You have electricity and hot and cold running water?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's quite the rig.
Yeah. This is cool. I mean, that's another part of it. I mean, it is once you get the idea and you know how to grill, now you've got that technology. Now you've got, as you say, you're doing catering at WyattsBBQCatering.com. That's WyattsBBQCatering.com. So now you're in the business. Are you expanding? How are you doing marketing?
Well, right now, most of our marketing is word of mouth. People taste it, they tell their friends. That's the key to good barbecue as far as being successful in this business, is just having a good product. And I still, you know, and I hope this never goes away, but I still take pride in everything that I do. Like, I do it for fun still. It's still so awesome when someone looks at me and goes, oh, my God, these are the best ribs I've ever had. It just really gets me going. And, you know, so that's the key. I just make sure that I create a good product. Everyone loves it, and they tell their friends. I do some advertising, a lot of social networking, Facebook, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Try to spread the word for people who haven't heard of us. But for the most part, yeah, just social networking and word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as expanding, not at this time right now. I'm, you know, juggling this and my other ventures and just trying to, you know, make this as busy as possible. And maybe in the future I'd like to open up a restaurant.
So is, you know, there's the overhead of opening a physical location. And you obviously then have the issue that all your marketing is it changes because you're driving people to your location rather than the other way around with the portable thing. You can pick and choose. Different people are going to have different events in different locations, and you can go to them when they have a 100-person party or 150 or 300-person party and really make profit that day at that event. Whereas with a business like a restaurant, some days aren't so good as others.
Right. Right.
Hey, John, how far do you travel for catering? Do you try to?
I don't have anything in stone. I generally will talk to a person, find out if there's a wedding, a 200-person wedding, you know, in Riverside, no problem. I'll drive out there. Or Orange County, I've gone to Orange County. I'll go to I've been as far as Valencia, but I don't have any limits depending on the job. As long as it's worthwhile for my business, you know, as well as the person looking to hire us. There's really no limit. Mm-hmm. Heck, I'll drive to New York if it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I'll pull that rig to New York. I can live on it.
You can eat well along the way, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Joe, you know what else John also does? He does events for different businesses around town. Recently, I saw him down at a Select Beer Store. You know how Select Beer Store does their beer events, and they bring in different food.
Right.
They bring in different types of food, different groups that. And John's done some barbecuing down there for them.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. It's been a lot of fun down there, being inside of a bar, working with the people trying to promote their product, and having me as that guy everyone goes to when they're hungry after they've been drinking beer for a couple hours.
So I mean, yeah, you have a complete menu. You got the tri-tip, the pork ribs, the beef ribs, the chicken quarters, pulled pork, and hot links. Great hot links, and of course hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah.
And
you have to have the good old American backyard barbecue.
Now, do you cook your sides yourself as well?
Yes, I have a lot of help from my wife and my family. Wyatt's Barbecue is actually named after my son. My son is Wyatt, and we really we put him to work. He does a lot of work making the sides. My daughter Sydney is Sydney Sassy Sauce, which is our barbecue sauce. She mixes up that. Mm-hmm. She's getting pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. And then my wife, Emily, does the baked beans. She does the mac salad. She does the cheesy potatoes, which are this new thing that everybody wants because they're so good. So that's the sides actually are probably, because I've got this down to such a science now, the sides are probably more work than anything. I never realized how much work was going to go into the sides, having good sides, that is, because they're not just some baked beans out of a can. They're made from scratch. Everything is made, you know, even the sauce that goes in it is made from scratch in such quantities. It's a lot of work, but the product is good.
Yeah,
and you can't just have one of those little Crocker things that you bake beans with on your kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's nice.
I imagine you have to have something a little more industrial size.
Like a cauldron.
Yeah.
Gallon.
That's what it looks like. It's a lot.
That's basically taking it to the next level for sure.
Yes.
So, you know, they're a successful party, and Jackie knows very well because she's been a hostess many times, is good food, good music. You know, you got to have both. You got to have all the elements, and people will remember that. So that's it. You know, the catering business is a business of intense, you know, sort of excitement, you know, punctuated by, you know, just sitting there and you're serving people. And what do you like best about the catering business?
You know, a lot of people ask me the same question because I do a lot of what we call drop and goes, which means we make the food for the parties and then deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the on-site cooking where we bring the rig out to the event. And the off-site stuff, the stuff where I cook and drop it and go, I mean, it's a lot less work.
Yeah.
But I love the on-site cooking because I love to be around people. Jackie knows me. I just have to be around people, and I'm a social fanatic, and I love to be around people. I love, like I said, I love to watch the look on their faces when they see it cooked and when they eat it. And so I guess the biggest part of catering is being on-site and doing the, you know, the more personal parties where you're there. And I've done weddings where you're there, you're basically in the wedding pictures and stuff because people are like, wow, this is our barbecue, or this is, it was so good. And that part of it I like the most on as far as the catering.
You know, Joe, it's so funny. You put a grill out and men are drawn to it. It's like they gather. It's like it's the straight, and they all stand around looking at it. You know, a guy will stand there with a pair of tongs and flipping the chicken and the steaks, and they all just stand there with a beer in hand, like, you know, their hands on their hips, like, yeah, this is good.
It's like having a car you built from scratch sitting there like a Lamborghini or something, and all just standing there shaking their head.
It's a phenomenon.
It really is. Everyone's got an opinion, and everyone can discuss it and, you know, talk about it. And, oh, that's a nice cooker. And, you know,
they want to know square inches. They want to know where you got this and where.
They want to know BTUs and all this other stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's wonderful to talk with a small business person that has a real focus. You've got a real focus, and you really know who you are, and the whole family's involved, so nobody's left out. You're not doing this on your own, like, you know, and the family's left at home saying, "Why, John's gone all weekend, and we don't know where he's at, what he's doing." But no, the family's involved. They know what you're doing. This is awesome, John. This is really
Is the ultimate family business. It really is, because there's a place for everybody.
Right.
And it's so fun. You know, we just did an event. We do a lot of school events for the local schools around here, and we just did one last week for Madison Elementary in Redondo. And, I mean, you're doing fairs where the kids are all, they're there, they're helping, they're doing their job, but then they're also having a blast or seeing their friends, and, you know, it keeps you involved in their lives as well. And, you know, that part of it's awesome.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea. And yeah, that's it. You can do
but, that. But you have to be able to back it up with the good food.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's the good part of it.
I'm looking here at a picture. I guess it's of the beans on the events page on your website.
Oh, yes.
And that looks great. Little celery. And at least two, three different kinds of beans.
Yeah, there's three types of beans. There's lots of bacon. I'm sorry, but we are not a. Everything we have has meat in it.
No need to apologize for bacon. You never apologize for bacon. Ever.
I had a gal who was a vegetarian ask me last week. She says, "Wow, I'm sorry, I'm a vegetarian, but these beans look so good." She's like, "Wow, is there any way I could pick the bacon out?" I said, "Wow, that's tofu bacon." I said, "Go ahead." She just laughed.
She's not a vegetarian anymore. That's true.
I
had one of the best compliments not too long ago. I was in the gym, and this gentleman walks up after this party I'd done a month prior. And this guy comes up, never seen him before, and he says, "Hey, I've been looking all over for you. You did that barbecue the other day." I says, "Oh, yeah, how are you?" And he says, "Hey, but I'm about to give you the best compliment you ever had." And I says, "Oh, yeah, what's that?" And he says, "I've been married to my wife for 20 years. He says, since I've known her, and as far as I know, since birth, she's been a vegetarian. The night of that party, somehow I was able to talk her into having some of your, I think it was the tri-tip. And he said, from this day on, she loves meat. She's tried everything now. It's broken her. She's turned into a meat eater, and she blames it. She says it's because of that great barbecue she had." And it really was. It was a really good, not too many people can say that they turned over a vegetarian.
Wow.
So I can't figure out if you saved their marriage or you're a marriage wrecker.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's pretty happy. So.
Yeah, he's happy because he was a big barbecuer. Yeah, he was like, "Man, she'd never eat my barbecue. it was pretty cool.
Well, it's the same with really good barbecue, really good chicken, fried chicken, or really good anything. Most people have never had it because there's a lot of work involved. And
right.
So most of the time, people are just doing it halfway, and it doesn't taste all that great.
Right. It's barbecue. Doing barbecue quick just doesn't go together. It just doesn't. If you're going to barbecue, you got to take the time. Whether you're cooking in your backyard or if you're doing something on this level, it takes time, and you can't rush it, or it's just not going to be that great.
Right. Yeah, we never have time. We're not gonna do the 12-hour or the 6-hour. We're not gonna do that. I would love to try that sometime. I just never get around to making the time for it.
Well, the next time John is at some location where you can go in, you can go stand around the grill.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll save a spot for you.
Do you have like a schedule when you're on location, do you publish it anywhere? Do you have a mail?
It depends on if it is a public event. Yeah, I will always do. Usually use Facebook, and I'll get my website out there to people, and I'll just post up wherever we're going to be. That's generally the way I'll let people know where we're going to be. Plus word of mouth.
Of course. Well, this is exciting, ladies and gentlemen. This is the South Bay Show. We're spotlighting businesses in the South Bay, and today it's Wyatt's Barbecue and Catering Company. You chill, we grill. And John Marsh is the owner proprietor of Wyatt's Barbecue and Catering, and the whole family's involved, and it sounds delicious. Now, John, what's the number for people that want to check out your catering? Phone number?
It's 310-489-8859.
Okay, 489-8859. Yeah, that's the same one on the menu. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you can find them online?
Yes, and you can find them online, of course, at wyattsbbqcatering.com. And what's on Facebook? How do they find you? Do you have a tag name after Facebook?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it is. It's my personal Facebook is John Marsh at Facebook, and it's tagged to the personal one. I believe you can get to it through Wyatt's Barbecue at Facebook.
Actually, you know something, John? I've looked up Wyatt's Barbecue, and there are several on Facebook. So you got to put in Wyatt's Barbecue and Catering. Yeah.
Right. And here's the problem with Wyatt's. We didn't want to mislead people and make it sound as if we were in a restaurant, because we're not a restaurant. And I was getting calls a lot because it's Wyatt's Barbecue and Catering. So we removed the and put it in the website. So it's Wyatt's Barbecue Catering.
Okay.
Minus the and then at Facebook.
I see. Oh, yeah. Wyatt's BBQCatering.com.
Right. I mean, you can still get to the website entering the and, but through the Facebook, I believe you have to just do Wyatt's Barbecue Catering.
Right. All right. Great. Well, this is exciting, and I wish you could taste the food right now, but hey, this is radio. thank you so much for joining us, and what we're going to do is take a station break real quick, and we'll be back with John discussing more about barbecue and how to melt that collagen and make it really, really juicy and really, really tender. Jackie, what sponsor are we going to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti Cameron Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they're dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Palos Verdes Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. Briganti Cameron Waters & Strong is dedicated to helping you navigate to financial success. You can call 310-542-0011 for a free consultation or visit the website at www.bcws.com. And what's the reminder, Joe?
It's tax time.
That's right.
Tax time's coming.
Yep. Got to get all your ducks in a row.
Yep. Less than a month.
All right, let's get back to more fun subjects.
Let's talk about barbecue. I want to talk about barbecue. So, John, what's next now for Wyatt's BBQ and Wyatt's BBQ Catering? You're going to focus on catering. Yeah, you're thinking maybe you might open a restaurant eventually. How soon would that happen if that would happen soon?
Well, if that's the route that we decide to take, depending on how busy the catering, because I have a couple, let's say, mentors in the business that have been helping me along with my decision making on where I go.
Mm-hmm.
If I do, it would probably be, you know, within the next, you know, year to 2 years, and it would probably be takeout only, because to be able to do a restaurant itself and then still keep it small and family oriented. To do the restaurant and the catering would probably be too overwhelming.
Right.
But a small takeout place, which would not only be beneficial, but it would also, you know, as far as financially, but it would also help bring more business to the catering company, having, like, say, just a small takeout, you know, not really a sit-down place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking more towards that, more towards just having a small little spot here in Redondo and, you know, just takeout only and... Mm-hmm. Put the big rig out front and kind of iconic, and maybe do some outside grilling in the summer.
Okay. That model works. I know there was a place in Chicago that I used to go to called Leon's Barbecue. And they had a few locations around the city, but they were all just like, I mean, maybe 300 square foot of front space. Maybe.
Right.
That
right.
was it. Enough space for you to walk in, pay, and take your barbecue out.
Yes, exactly.
No seats, nothing like that. People sitting outside on the curb eating the barbecue for those people that just couldn't make it, you know, to their car. It was good, man. I'm telling you. It was very good.
Yeah, and that's the idea. We had even looked at a place here. Most locals around here know this is the Pebble Store. There's a place over here in Redondo that was on the corner forever, and it was an actual Pebble Store. I guess they sold pebbles. But at one point, it used to be a coffee drive-through house, and it was on a busy intersection, and you could literally drive through and get your coffee, and it went out of business. And the building was for lease for a while, and before we could jump on it, or before we were prepared to jump on it, somebody snatched it up. So I'm not sure what it is now, but that's something we'd like to do, is a small, like you said, 300-400 square feet, drive through, maybe a couple of picnic benches out front, and that's it. Maybe some good music blaring, and that's about it.
Right. Oh, that's that model works really well. You can pump out a lot of food there, and not have to worry about all the other things you have to worry about when you have, you know, sit down.
The restaurant, yes.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about parking.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You wouldn't have to have all the wait staff. Yeah,
right.
that makes a lot of
sense.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what I like about that? We were talking about this. We had the proprietor of Flossie's on yesterday. Mm-hmm. She's a Southern food. Little restaurant, little shop.
Healthy
Southern cuisine, yeah. And she has a very small setup where I think most of her business is takeout.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good model. And you know what I love about that, as I mentioned yesterday, Joe, is you know, sometimes you're cooking yourself, like I'll be barbecuing myself, and I just want a side of great beans.
Yeah.
Or I just want a side of coleslaw, like to feed, say, 15 people.
Right.
You know, and you can just call and order it and pick it up. That's the way to do it.
Right.
You know?
As John has said, I mean, a lot of times we'll all have some of our favorite main dishes, the main entrees, that we can cook ourselves, and that's part of the enjoyment of having a party. But the sides are so much work that it would be great to depend on a catering company like John's or Flossie's to do the sides. That's the way to do a party.
Yeah.
Because then you mean, otherwise you're going to be working, you know, all day.
Yeah, it's much less labor intensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
John, could somebody do that? Say they've had your barbecue and they love it, but they just want to get the cheesy potatoes. Do you do stuff, or do you have to have a minimum or something?
There is a minimum, but it's not in stone. If it's doable, I'll do it. If we're not slam busy, or if it's, you know, the quantity is worth doing, because like I said, it is a lot of work. Yeah, absolutely, we do it all the time. Mm-hmm. People will say, hey, you know, we're having this event, but we would really love to have your baked beans. You know, we'll, you know, if we have the time to do it, we'll go ahead and do it, and mm-hmm. generally just top it off.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wow.
But that's a big reason why we would really like to eventually get a small takeout place for what you were saying, for people that just wanted to, or just, hey, you just want to sit and have dinner with you and your kids, and you know, and you can't, you know, it's not like a catering issue. You just want to go down and grab a bite. I mean, the barbecue is good all the time. It's not like there's not one on every corner, not a legitimate one anyway, mm-hmm. to where they take, you know, time and the cooking and the food's always good. So mm-hmm. I want to have that place where, hey, there's one here, and then there's one over here in this county, and there's one over here in this county, and that's kind of it. You know, right. There's not a barbecue on every corner, so as long as you keep quality like that, where people can just come down, grab a meal.
Right.
And
well, let me ask the experts. Jackie?
Okay.
is there a place where you can get, I mean, really good barbecue?
You know, I'm really picky about it. You know that, and you know there have been a couple of places in the last few years that have opened and closed.
Right.
You know, I don't rush out. You know, every time, I've said this before. You know, I don't list a lot. There are a lot of restaurants that are not listed on my website. I want them to have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you go out and try a new restaurant and it's great, and you come back and you write about it and you tell everybody about it, and 6 months later it's gone. You know, that doesn't do anything. As
right.
a matter of fact, I just heard about two more restaurants that aren't going to be around anymore. American Farmhouse Tavern is closing.
Right.
You know,
well,
so.
Yeah, they're selling to,
Cantina Real.
Cantina Real, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Rumor has it they're moving into downtown Manhattan Beach, but that's not in stone yet. So.
No, and it's going to be a different thing.
Yeah. Right. Again, as with Southern food, you know, I don't eat a lot of it because there's not a lot of good stuff to go around. It's hard to cook.
Right.
You know, barbecue is the same thing. So I save it for special occasions, and when I want it, I'll call John.
Right. John, I seriously don't think that there are that many, I don't want to say none, but there are that many places that do barbecue really, really well. It's few and far between. So the market is good for you. In the summer.
You know, I love barbecue as well, and sometimes I don't have the time to sit down and make a meal for myself real quick. You know, it's not that easy, and I'll go have barbecue. And there are very few places where I can. It's not like I can. It's not like like Mexican food or
right.
or Chinese food. I can't just run down the street and grab it. It's like I have to at least drive a couple miles to go to a legitimate place that I think is worth, you know,
John,
what I'm looking for.
Where do you like to go? What barbecue places do you like?
You know what? You know, one of my favorite places, you know, and I'm a big fan of the small business. There's a place in El Segundo, if we're talking quality, if I want the same type of food that I'm going to make, I'll go to Britt's Barbecue. That's in El Segundo. He's actually been, Britt's been a friend of mine and a mentor to help me in the business. But sometimes that's kind of out of the way, you know. That's, and then the other one is very commercialized, but it's the closest thing I can get to is Lucille's. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it in my book, it's not as legitimate as I would want it to be. But I mean, they have such a high demand. They're such a big restaurant. And that's another thing about having a big restaurant. Your quality goes. You don't have the time to put the energy into making everything perfect. Mm-hmm. It's kind of because of the quantities are so high and the demand is always there. And, you know, it's a restaurant. You know, so much going on.
Right.
But I will go there. And, you know, it's not bad. But it's not, you know, what I would choose to be great barbecue.
Right.
But that's where I would go. If I want barbecue, that's where I would go.
Right.
I have a rule about Lucille's. I am not allowed to go there more than once a month. That's it. Once a month, that's it.
Or else you'd be there all the time.
Or else I'd be 300 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and also with a commercial barbecue like that, you have to watch. Everything's got to be kind of the same. It's tough to make things moist and rare,
mm-hmm.
because of, you know, it's got to be ready and mm-hmm. prepared all day, and it can't be too underdone or anything like that. So it tends to be on the bigger outfits, they tend to be a little bit dry to me.
Mm-hmm.
At certain times of day, you know, more late, you know, closer to lunchtime. If you're not there right at lunch, then you're going to get lunch for dinner and you know, things like that. So mm-hmm. I tend to stay, you know, I like it more moist. And it's hard to do when you're making quantity like that all day.
Wow, we're excited, John, about your enterprise. We're excited about your having potentially a fixed location somewhere where we know we can go and get the right stuff. There's no need to expand the menu very much. I mean, it's just America's food. Barbecues all over the country. People are trying to do those basic staples as best they can, and it's great to have you in the South Bay, John.
Well, thank you.
Cooking barbecue.
Great to be here. Yeah.
Hey, John, do you have any events coming up that you'll be cooking at that you want to tell people about?
We are looking at the Fiesta Hermosa.
Mm-hmm.
And then is that in May?
Yes,
in May.
Memorial Day weekend. Yeah,
in Hermosa Beach. So we'll be there. We do have several events in between here and there, but they're weddings, and I don't think they would appreciate me making it public. We have a couple smaller parties in between there, but yeah, we'll be at the Fiesta Hermosa, and if anything else comes up, I'll definitely post it on my Facebook ads.
For people who haven't experienced it, Fiesta Hermosa, Memorial Day and Labor Day weekends, 3 days, John, that could, you could be hitting the big time then.
That's a big event. Yeah, this will be the first time at that particular event. Yes.
3 days, and it's quite an event, and you know, they have over 100,000 people go through there in 3 days. It could be big.
I got to tell you, though, you know, I'm not crazy about fair food, so having John's barbecue there will be a real treat.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If his food is a hit there, it could get crazy because people from the first day will come back for the second, and people from the first and second will come back for the third, and it could be, that could be a launch point even, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Cool. So thanks very much, John, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I know you've got to go. You've got a very important appointment with Wyatt and Sydney.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Their last day of school before Easter. So.
Right. Wyatt's barbecue and Sydney's sassy sauce. They have things to do.
Put those kids to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, John Marsh, proprietor, owner of Wyatt's Barbecue Catering Company. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, guys.
All right.
Take care, John.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
So without fail, if you're looking for some awesome barbecue for your event, your party, you'll want to go to Wyatt's BBQ Wyatt's BBQ Catering.com, Wyatt's BBQ Catering.com, or call 310-489-8859. Okay. So, Jackie, what's going on around town?
We got a big weekend.
Yeah.
Coming up. You know that Easter is this Sunday.
Yes.
And, you know, Easter, there's also, I've been inundated with restaurants telling me about their special menus and brunches and stuff. And I keep telling them, I said, look, at every restaurant in town is having something. You know, so I can't cover those. But what I can cover are the Easter egg hunts.
Mm.
And I spent several days pulling together all of these Easter egg hunts throughout the South Bay, from El Segundo to the Palos Verdes Peninsula and everywhere in between, pretty much every city, not necessarily the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are cities, some of them are chambers, some of them are churches. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have a fairly comprehensive, what I thought was a comprehensive list on my website. And what's happened is people have seen it and they're saying, oh, you didn't mention this one. So I'm like, that was the plan. You know, I was hoping people would read it and say, well, they don't have this one listed, and give us the information. So that's what's happening.
Right.
So so you can go to my website, or you can go to RedondoBeachPatch.com and check out my blog. It's listed there as well for Easter egg hunts.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Tonight, Thursday, March 28th, Tapas and Vino presents Spanish Night. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m., enjoy a selection of tasty tapas paired with select Spanish wines. The price for this treat is only $49 per person, exclusive of tax and gratuity. Tapas and Vino is located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information and to make reservations, you can call 310-791-8200 or visit the website tapasyvino.com, as you mentioned earlier, TapasyVino.com. I'm going to be there tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's four courses, four separate tapas with Spanish wines.
Mm.
I'm going to be working on my Spanish tonight. Más vino, por favor, por favor. So that's tonight. And let's see what else is going on. Oh, again tonight, the city of Manhattan Beach presents a tsunami town hall meeting tonight, Thursday, March 28th, at the Joslyn Center. The meeting begins at 6:30 and features two guest speakers, Rick Wilson and Frank Chiella. Now, Rick Wilson is the senior engineering geologist and science coordinator for the State of California Tsunami Preparedness and Hazard Mitigation Program. That's his title.
Wow.
That's a mouthful. Frank Chiella, Manhattan Beach Fire Department Battalion Chief and Preparedness Coordinator for the City of Manhattan Beach, will discuss how big of a tsunami could hit the South Bay, what areas of Manhattan Beach are at risk, evacuation zones and evacuation routes, and how residents will be notified of a possible tsunami. This event is free and open to the general public, and all residents are encouraged to attend this important and informative meeting. Yesterday, I think it's a—I don't know if it's a national thing or just a California thing—but yesterday was the annual tsunami test.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that? Each of the beach cities do a test.
Right.
You know, they sound an alarm, whatever, and they make the communities aware of it ahead of time, like a practice run.
Right.
So that was yesterday, but tonight. The town hall meeting is happening at the Joslyn Center in Manhattan Beach. And that's pretty important, especially, you know, if you live in the low-lying areas, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, parts of Redondo Beach. It's, you know, just some more good stuff to know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's, tsunamis can be quite devastating. If we ever experience one, it's going to be... It's gonna do some damage.
Do you remember a couple of years ago? It was after the big one in Indonesia. A couple of months later, another earthquake, and they were saying, "Okay, tsunami warning," and it was gonna hit our beaches like at 8:02 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I was going to the gym, and I thought, you know what? Before I go to the gym, I'll drive down to the beach and see what I can see.
Oh.
I got down there. There were thousands of people,
right,
along the Esplanade and the Strand, the bike path, everybody was there with their cameras, just stand, you know, they had their coffee, they were just waiting for it. And 802 came and went, and nothing happened. It was like an inch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so they do happen, though. They do happen, so you need to be aware of that. What else is going on? Oh, Skate Park PV has teamed up with PCH Skate Camps to host the third annual Skate the Hill event at Ernie Hallett Park on Saturday, March 30th. The temporary skate park will be open to the public from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon and will feature ramps, rails, and grind boxes to skate on. The event will also feature a free raffle drawing. Now, support Skate Park PB's effort to have a permanent skate facility provided for the estimated 3,000 skaters living on the Palos Verdes Peninsula. This is a free event, and all skaters are welcome, so bring the whole family to come out and show your support. Parents must be present to sign a liability waiver for each skater under 18. So bring your own skateboard, helmet, pads, lunch, and snacks. For more information, you can visit their Facebook page. Ernie Hallett Park is located at 25851 Hawthorne Boulevard between Palos Verdes Drive North and Rolling Hills Road in Rolling Hills Estate. Now, I don't know if you were aware of this, but Ellen November and her group, Skate Park PV, have been working really hard to get approval to build a skate park up on the hill. And they got the approval, and they identified a piece of land in the park to build the skate park. So, you know, this happened, I don't know, about 8 months ago or something. And it was all really very exciting. And then, unfortunately, they did a survey or some tests on the land, and it's former landfill. Mm. So they deemed it unacceptable to build a skate park.
Mm.
So now they're looking for another location. I heard something about them trying to get one of the basketball courts or something, but, you know, the basketball players don't want that to happen. So there's, you know, as I said, they got approval from the city. Now it's just a matter of finding the right piece of property to build the skate on. So you got to keep your support up for this stuff.
Right.
Wow. You know? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, that's Saturday. March 30th, from 10 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? Oh, Shade Hotel hosts the 5th annual Taste of the South Bay fundraiser on Wednesday, April 3rd, benefiting the King's Care Foundation. Only 250 tickets are being sold for this exclusive dining and fundraising affair presented by Hush Hush and Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings. They're going to showcase top local restaurants featuring samples of their food and drink. The event takes place from 6 to 9:30 p.m. with tickets starting at $100 for general admission. Current Kings players and members of the L.A. Kings Alumni Association will be on hand to mingle with guests. Participating restaurants include Bruco, Circa, Cupcake Couture, Darren's, Fish Bar, Fleming's, Hot's Kitchen, Paul Martin's American Bistro, The Strand House, and several others. For more information and ticket purchase, visit the website at www.lakings.com/taste.
Wow.
Or call 310-535-4466. Shade Hotel is located at 1221 North Valley Drive in Manhattan Beach. For more information on Shade and for this event, you can look at the Shade website at www.shadehotel.com or call them directly at 310-546-4995. So this is the LA Kings.
Wow.
Which is huge. You remember what happened when they won the Stanley Cup. I mean, they all through the beach cities.
Yes, I certainly do. And my first question is the cup going to be there?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I'd like to touch it. Yeah.
You didn't get a chance to touch it. It was all over the South Bay.
I didn't get a chance to touch it, but my daughter was waitressing at On the Rocks in Redondo. And they have a big sort of patio party area in the back.
Yes.
All the Kings actually rented that back patio. They brought the cup, and she's got like, I don't know, like 50 pictures of herself with various Kings and the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That
happened all over town.
Yeah, they actually had a parade right in front of Hennessy's.
Yeah.
With the cup down the Strand. It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, no, they were at Redondo Beach Cafe. They stopped in all the, because I guess a lot of those guys, the players, live down here.
Right.
And so they were all over the South Bay, you know, for several weeks.
Right.
My neighbor across the street has a picture of him with them in his backyard with the cup.
Yes. It was quite a South Bay experience for hockey.
He couldn't post that picture to Facebook fast enough.
But, I mean, this is really sponsored by the Kings. All you have to do is lakings.com/taste.
Yeah. Yeah, it's King, the King's Care Foundation.
Right, right.
So it's a fundraiser for a good cause. And as I said, you know, tickets start at $100, which, you know, is very, that's very reasonable.
That's,
you know, you get to meet all the players and right. You get all this fabulous food and drink. And,
right.
You know, that's a fun evening. They also have sponsorships, you know, in higher levels, you know, if you want to, you know, sponsor it or something, you know, you can do that too. So, yeah, so that's going to be a fun event on Wednesday. That's Wednesday, April 3rd.
Wednesday, April 3rd. Do they actually have, like, casino tables there?
You can No. This isn't a casino night. This is a taste of the South Bay.
Yeah, okay.
So it's going to be all Michael Zislis restaurants. No, I'm only kidding. But like several of his are on here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's really nice to see these events and the way it's sort of co-marketed between the restaurants and the Kings. It's awesome.
And the restaurants, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and just I'll mention it one more time. If you have not been to Tapas and Vino yet, you are in for a treat. Andy is currently running a Not Just Tapas and Vino campaign exclusively for our audience. Mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie and receive 25% off a lunch or brunch entree. Or you can just tell him Jackie and Joe sent you. Tapas and Vino, again, is located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information, visit that website, tapasevino.com, or call 310-791-8200. It's the All Tapas and Vino, All the Time show today, Joe.
Yes.
Yeah, and as always, check the calendar links and things to do page on my website, southbaybyjackie.com, for details on these and other events throughout the South Bay. And again, I want to mention the Easter egg hunts are listed there.
Right.
As well as the South Bay Galleria. Through March 30th, I believe they started March 16th, through March 30th, they are offering pictures with the Easter Bunny.
Mm.
They had a big event, I believe it was on the 16th, you know, with, you know, games and all this other stuff, as well as Manhattan Village through March 30th is offering pictures with the Easter Bunny.
Mm.
So this is your last couple of days if you want to get those, you know, pictures to put in the photo album.
Right.
But the Easter Bunny. When I was growing up, the Easter Bunny wasn't as big as it is now.
Why do you think that is?
Commercialism.
Yeah, right.
You know,
just like everything with Christmas and...
Yeah, yeah. All right. Commercial. You want to get people out of their houses into the stores.
Right.
And what's better than a three-year-old tugging on your shirt saying, Daddy, I want to go see the Easter Bunny.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's what it is. But, hey, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fun.
I love the Easter egg hunts around town. Many of them are tiered now. They have ones for the small kids and ones for the larger kids. And they're pretty exciting and can be very great sort of community events.
They are. They really are. As a matter of fact, one of the events on my list there in Manhattan Beach, Aviator Nation, which is just a shop.
Right.
You know, it's not a council or a city or anything. They're doing something with the Easter Bunny, and their eggs are going to have prizes and merchandise and discount coupons in them.
Right.
You know, a lot of them. You know, it's not necessarily the colored eggs of our youth. You know.
Right.
You know, they have the plastic eggs filled with candies, maybe toys and stuff. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's always fun to watch the little kids running around like crazy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so Easter Sunday coming up.
Yes, yes.
It's a big weekend, and we hope everyone is going to have a great weekend and have a wonderful Easter.
I hope we have good weather.
Oh, yeah. I think we are at least in the a.m. We're going to have great weather. So Easter Sunday and that sunrise, S-O-N-R-I-S-E,
mm-hmm.
is going to be a beautiful sunrise.
All right.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and that's our show for the day. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye now.